We have got a great episode for you today. We are going to talk a little Chiefs versus Titans. Chiefs coming off the bye week. The Royals hired a new manager.
Love it.
To get to. Kansas City Current lost in the championship game.
Damn it.
Gotta get to that, too. Got some openings and closings around the city. James B. Nutter, one of the closings. God, I can't wait to get into that one. What we try around Kansas City this week? Danny's going to say something nice about St. Louis.
Wow.
Okay. We got our personal pine tars and then our mixed plate of Kansas City area coaches. Right. Welcome in to Say Your Line, a podcast for Kansas Cityans by Kansas Cityans. We are the Rich Brothers. Today is November 2nd. Coming on a Wednesday to you. We're going to be coming on a Wednesday to you next week.
We too. Are?
Yeah, I'm traveling on Monday.
Another travel day.
What was your excuse this week for not recording Monday?
Halloween,
your favorite holiday.
My favorite holiday. But the two kids... For Halloween, it's different when you have kids because you have to dress them up. And basically, we have...
It looked like you were just hanging out with your friends.
We have the most optimal house to meet at and to set up home base for a big, huge trick-or-treating with all the niños. So, like, there was, I don't know, probably 50 kids running around.
50?
Dude, it was insane.
That's insane.
Because where our house is in Brookside, it's like a very flat area. So there's like no hills. I think for some reason that makes it really easy. We live on a corner, so like you can kind of just go around the block. We live in a very quiet part. There's no main streets around us other than Main Street. But Main Street isn't actually like a main street in that area. And it's got the speed bump, so no one's really speeding. It really is like the most optimal meeting spot. So... We had all these people meet at our house, and trick-or-treating for little kids all under the age of 5. That happened from 5 o'clock till about 6:30.
You stashed up on candy now?
I have none, no, because James is just too little to, trick-or-treat. Mm-hmm. Like, he would go up and... So, the way he walks at his speed, it's probably, one house every 5 minutes. So, we maybe hit up,
4 houses?
8 houses.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow, okay.
And he took one piece of candy from each. And okay. So he did, by the end of it, he started liking, going up and taking the candy. But he can't carry a bag with him and take candy at 2 years old and, stuff it. So, I think I probably have 8 pieces of candy.
Oh, nice.
And all the candy that I put out front, it all got taken. We had trick-or-treaters all night. So that was cool. I'm glad trick-or-treating's back. I saw a lot of people posting about it not being back. We had a ton of trick-or-treaters, and in our neighborhood... there's kids everywhere. So, that was my excuse.
Okay. All right. Well, we're back talking Chiefs versus Titans.
Yeah. It's an easy week to have a bye week be a day late because the Chiefs are on a bye.
Because the bye week. Here's my note that I wrote down about the Chiefs and Titans. It's personal against the Titans. I'm very frustrated that we've lost the back-to-back regular season games against them.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they think they have our number or something. Mm-hmm. So I think we need to show them who their daddy is.
Yeah, it's a little bit...
Because I'm frustrated that they probably think they've got our number.
Yeah, the Titans shouldn't be good. They shouldn't be good at all. They've gotten a little bit lucky. They play in an awful division. And they've gotten a little bit lucky. And so I think, we're 11-point favorites. Mm-hmm. So, that is... A spread. So even though the Titans are probably going to win their division, the Chiefs are still 11-point favorites to a probable division winner, which is just absurd to say. And I think that proves that, Vegas thinks like a lot of people who dig deep in the numbers and look at things other than win-loss record, that the Titans aren't actually very good. Mm-hmm. Some of the things they do really well are they're by far and away the best defense on third and fourth down. And third and fourth down defense isn't really stable year over year. It's kind of like there's a lot of randomness in that. And a sign of a true good defense is when they're good on first and second down and on scripted plays and things like that. So we'll see. The Titans have gotten a little lucky with some red zone turnovers. They've gotten a little lucky with when they've gotten turnovers and again, the schedule that they played. So obviously Vegas thinks the Titans aren't very good because we're 11-point favorites against them. They make me a little bit nervous. I want to make it personal. I hope our players take it personal. And then, you know, it's Andy Reid off of a bye week, which usually has good results. But it is a little bit immovable force versus or unstoppable force versus immovable object, because the Titans do have the best third and fourth down defense in the NFL, and the Chiefs have far and away the best third and fourth down offense in the NFL. They also have just the regular best offense in the NFL on first and second downs as well, but also the best laid down offense, because as we all see with our eyes, Patrick Mahomes is a freak on third down. But we'll see who breaks there. My guess is it's going to be the offense. Also, don't be worried too. Some other stats: the Titans have one of the best defenses against scripted plays. So against the first 15 plays of an opponent's drive, the Titans do really good. And the Titans have one of the better offenses on scripted plays of the first 15 plays. And the Chiefs have one of the worst defenses on scripted plays. So don't be surprised if the Titans get out to an early lead. If they do, live bet the Chiefs, because you'll have a little bit better live odds there. But Vegas obviously knows all of this because I know it. If the Titans get up to a 10-0 lead,
Chiefs
or something,
might still be favored.
The Chiefs might still be favored, and you might not even get positive money betting that live. So I think the Chiefs are a lot better. And I'm not too worried about this. Andy Reid off a bye, but it is kind of annoying when the Titans have beaten you two times in a row. So hopefully that means that's in our players' mind, and they don't take anything lightly given the 11-point spread.
Yeah, and I think about look like last year when they played in the regular season, a lot of frustration spilled over. Titans talking a lot of smack in that game. So hopefully, I think it's when the Chiefs have a chip on their shoulder, when Patty Mahomes and Travis Kelce have a chip on their shoulder, they play that much better. I'm excited Trent McDuffie to get back in the mix.
Yep.
Trading Rashad Fenton said, we like our young guys, so we're good without you, Rashad. Thanks for your service. Where do we ship him off to?
Atlanta.
Thank you. So we'll take the pick.
Sixth-round pick, which is what we drafted him as in the sixth round. Rashad Fenton was a good player for the Chiefs. He played on our Super Bowl winning team. Yep. He played a lot of snaps in the game. The Super Bowl we beat the 49ers in, so that's a win. If you draft him in the sixth round, you get a sixth-rounder for him 3 or 4 years later, whenever it is.
$1.5 million in cap space back.
You got to take that.
And Chiefs really held pat besides that at the trade deadline.
Kadarius Toney.
That's why we waited to record the episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to get all the trade deadline scoops.
So Kadarius.
Kadarius Toney. Toney. Yeah. But I'm glad we didn't go out and like hedge way too much for a half a year of a player.
Yeah.
I think those gambles typically don't pay off.
Well. And Dominican Sue is still available. Should we get him?
Did he get cut by Tampa Bay?
No, he was a free agent at the start of the season.
Hasn't played.
Yeah, like Eric Fisher and Odell Beckham Jr.
Dominican Sue.
Yeah.
I don't like him.
Okay. So that's why you don't want
that's
him?
That's why.
You personally don't like him?
I personally don't like him.
He wrecked Blaine Gabbert's entire football career. If anyone shouldn't like him, it should be me.
Then don't like him.
But I kind of want him.
But don't we need more help on the edge than in the interior?
Well, yeah, probably.
Just use depth.
Yeah.
At defensive line, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Derek Nnadi is not
been
good.
We've got cap space, though.
Okay.
So things could happen.
Mm-hmm.
Things could still happen.
But I do like, I'm fine with the Kadarius Toney trade. Again, I think that's going to be more for next year than this year.
Did that happen since our last episode?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Since our last episode.
All right. I'm excited for it, too.
Yeah. I mean,
I didn't know I hadn't given a grade to it yet, but.
What are you going to go with?
I'm giving it a B plus.
B plus?
Yeah. A B plus.
Okay.
You got
I was going to give it a B.
Okay.
Pat, fine.
I don't expect much from him this season. And I think Andy Reid said that in the press conference after the trade.
That means expect a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, he's playing Jedi.
He might have been it worked on me.
Yeah.
But I like it for the future, because you look at our wide receiver room and you think towards the future, next year it's Sky Moore and MVS, and I don't know if we have anybody else under contract.
Watson.
Watson. Oh, Justin Watson.
Justin Watson.
Is he on a multi-year deal?
I don't know.
I'd be surprised.
Yeah.
But yeah, so not a lot of guys coming back at wide receiver. So to add some years of control to the wide receiver.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
I liked.
Yeah.
So not everybody's new next year. All right. Anything else?
Chiefs related?
Chiefs related.
No, excited to get back out to Arrowhead. We will be at this game.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Sunday Night Football. You will not be there.
I won't be there.
But I will be at the game. So I'll be giving it my all. It's not a driving game for me. I think I'm making some carnitas.
Oh, I'm missing the carnitas.
Yeah, I'm missing some carnitas. I don't know what else is on the menu, but it's shaping up to be another.
I might have you send me the recipe and I'll make it where I am in St. Louis.
There you go. Well, I think I'm sous vide before.
Okay, I can't do that. Yeah. I can crock pot it, though.
Crockpot it, sure, yeah. Mm-hmm. But excited because it's going to be a perfect day. So this will be another beautiful day for tailgating, and I feel like I'm getting spoiled because I've just had great tailgating weather so far.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of rain, but good tailgating weather so far, and I mean, I'm excited to get back out to Raytona Beach. We'll be there. Lot G, come on by if you want to. Say I saw someone put out a weird. I think Kansas City Magazine or someone put out like a weird tailgating lot map.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never heard of any of those things on that list.
Yeah, I hadn't either. The Lot G was known by an Iowa Des Moines tailgate,
like yeah.
515 area code.
Yeah.
And a cigar tent.
Cigar tent. I've never seen any of that. I really don't wander outside of our tailgate because, one, we've got the pee tent,
mm-hmm.
So we don't have to wander to go to the bathroom. And two, you know, people just come to our tailgate. We never have to walk to other people's tailgate. And the people's tailgate that we do walk to, it's always like, oh, dude, no way. Our tailgate's right there.
Yeah.
It happened to be one row down. That always happens to be the case. So, yeah, I don't really explore a lot, G, but I've never seen a cigar tent.
I have not either.
Who was that? Kansas City Magazine?
I couldn't tell. It looked like maybe their graphics.
All right. We'll take a look at that.
All right. Let's get to the
all right. We'll take a look at that. I mean,
no, someone has it. We'll find it.
Okay.
All right, let's talk Royals' new manager. Hired, I guess, since the last show that we had. Have we talked about him yet?
No, dude. He was hired like 2 days ago.
My days are blending together. But Matt Quatrero is the new Royals manager. I'm excited for this one.
Mm-hmm.
I love that we went outside of the organization to get somebody to bring in some fresh ideas, someone who hasn't been on the Royals staff before. I love his pedigree. Great resume.
Great resume.
Great resume. Rays minor league hitting coach,
mm-hmm.
Cleveland hitting coach. Or he was like the Rays minor league hitting director, I think.
Yeah, and coordinator.
Cleveland hitting coach, Rays bench coach. So bringing new ideas. He's come from organizations that do things, I think, in a very a way that has proven to win in this day and age of baseball. And I think we get the best of both worlds because he's a former player. He's a catcher.
Triple A. Never got out of
Triple A. Yeah. Just a grinder, though.
Just a grinder.
Just a grinder who just was, again, played at nearly the highest level.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that. I feel like we're getting the best of both worlds. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly. Another catcher. Three in a row.
Catchers make the best managers.
Apparently.
In my head.
No, I'm not trying to dispute you because I also love this hire. Was he on the top of Benny Ritz's big board?
He was on it.
He was on it.
He was on it. I don't know how it was sorted.
I think Benny sorted it by alphabetical order. So yeah. we need to get, you know, if he was at the very top of Benny Ritz's list. But basically everyone smarter than me that covers the Royals on a daily basis had Matt Quatraro. I think people call him Q a lot because his name's hard to pronounce.
Let's just call him Q.
Quatraro, a lot of people smarter than me and that follow the Royals a lot had him at the top of their list. And the way it shook out with the Marlins hiring a guy that was a hot candidate, I can't remember his name, and then the A's hired another Scott Schumacher, the way it shook out, it was like basically it seems like the Royals got the guy that they wanted most and potentially the guy that both the Marlins and the A's, I think it was the A's.
Skip Shoemaker went to the Marlins.
Okay. Someone else got hired that was on Benny Ritz's
list. Matt Kotze.
Yeah.
Got hired by Oakland.
Okay. But it sounds like the Royals got the guy that they wanted the most, and it sounded like the way it shook out, the Marlins also wanted Coach Q. So yeah, I think, again, we actually went through a hiring process this time. We didn't just hire a guy that was the president of operations or Dayton Moore's special assistant, like we did with Mike Matheny, which again, we didn't love the Mike Matheny hire, but even worse, we didn't like the process where there was just no interviews. It was just assumed Matheny was going to get the job. So this, like Pedro Grifol was interviewed, who just got hired by the Chicago White Sox.
Dang, I thought they were going to hire Ozzie Guillen for a second there.
That would have been
sweet. He got interviewed.
Oh, God.
That would have been incredible.
I would have loved that. But yeah, I mean, Cutrero got promoted and hired by smart organizations and then hired back by other smart organizations. I mean, the Tampa Bay Rays have five straight winning seasons in the AL East, in the most competitive, most difficult baseball division in baseball. And the Tampa Bay Rays have five straight winning seasons in that division. You know, he's a guy that thinks in an analytical way and understands the way baseball games are won in the year 2022, which is something our previous regime just straight up didn't do. They didn't admit to certain facts that led to winning baseball games. And these aren't like opinions. These are just facts. On base percentage, walking more, that wins baseball games. The Royals have been dead last in walks for the last 30 years. We've just refused to admit certain things are how we win baseball games. And Cutrero comes from organizations that aren't just like completely stubborn in their way of viewing how to win baseball games. And so I love that he started with the Rays, worked his way up through the Rays system, got a promotion, and got hired by Terry Francona and the Cleveland Indians at the time, the Guardians now. That's a successful organization that's been good for a long time with limited resources. Then got promoted again, got hired back by the Rays in a higher position as bench coach for the last five seasons. Again, with the Rays who have been very successful. So that's a guy who has worked his way up, has gotten promoted each time. Now it's his time to be the manager. Now it's his time to be the guy in charge. And he's had a lot of experience working for smart people. Terry Francona, I don't know the manager of the Rays off the top of my head. But working for smart people in smart organizations that have winning pedigrees and do things with limited budgets. And I like that process. So he's got the perfect resume. Having the perfect resume does not automatically equal having a ton of success, but there's a good process. It's a real signal for a change in the organization. You know, a lot of people were worried that J.J. Piccolo, being an assistant for Dayton Moore for 20 years, would just follow in his footsteps and not really be a huge change. This is proof that there's been significant change, which that is important.
And I'm really excited to pair him with the crop of young hitters that we have. It was a historic amount of rookies that we had last year hit and be productive.
Mm-hmm.
And so for him to come in with his hitting philosophy to work with these guys, I'm very, very excited for
him. Mm-hmm.
And he'll hire like a real pitching coach, not just mm-hmm. a friend who had never coached at any level before,
mm-hmm.
like Cal Eldred. Never coached.
Mm-hmm.
Never been a coach.
Yep.
Until he was the Royals Major League pitching coach.
Also,
don't forget that.
I'm looking at Spotrac now. We have Justin Ross under contract for next year as a wide receiver.
Okay. He's having a redshirt year.
Yeah, he's having a redshirt year.
He's
going to be back. Mm-hmm. Remember how excited people were about him?
Yeah, he just tweaked his foot. We put him on the redshirt.
Yeah.
Him a redshirt.
Yeah.
I can't wait for him next year.
Dude,
thank you for renewing my Justin Ross.
I can't wait for the preseason hype for Justin
Ross. Is it still going to happen for the other Clemson wide receiver that we have? Is that Cornell Powell?
He's not on the roster.
Okay.
I think he's on the practice squad.
Okay. Yeah, I can get that hype going too. All right, let's move. Oh, no, we got to talk Kansas City current loss. Did you watch?
I didn't.
By the time I turned it on, it was already 2-0. I think we had just scored an own goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the own goal was what did it in. Good season.
Yeah,
courageous
season. Almost went from first or worst to first.
Mm-hmm.
That close.
Went from worst to second first,
mm-hmm.
which count it. But yeah, great comeback here in the playoffs, great finish to the season. I mean, they hadn't lost since May or something like that. Lost 2-0 to the Portland Thorns. Mm-hmm. There was a record attendance for a National Women's League Soccer League game, 17,000 in Washington, D.C., which I guess it was just played there regardless, not mm-hmm. a home and away situation. Record TV attendance, almost 1 million people tuned in to watch. Good stuff for the KC Current. And you know, by all accounts, moving in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's move into some openings around Kansas City. First, we've got a new Monopoly game, Kansas City themed.
Mm-hmm.
I've got some opinions on who got left out.
Okay.
But is this a game we're going to be able to buy, like, for the holidays, like a true Monopoly board?
Yeah, dude, $44.95.
Okay.
Give your money now. Buy it for the holidays. This is the, I think there are 20 cities, metros that Monopoly does an official game for. This is the only one in Missouri.
Oh,
so suck it, St. Louis. I'll say something nice about you later, but not now. Suck it. We got it first. We got to brag about anything we can get.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let me hear your thoughts on. So I think Boardwalk is National World War One Museum and Memorial. The second one, what is it, Park Place? I think that's the Country Club Plaza. And then the other blue one is GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium. Props to GEHA for getting in there. You know, the other
no, that is just two are blue. Oh,
okay.
World War One Museum and Country Club Plaza.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then GEHA Field, Sporting KC, the Speedway. No Kauffman in here.
That's my first gripe.
Well, I wonder if that's, you know, Kauffman's not long for Truman Sports Complex, so.
It could be probably, a signal. Could be a signal that they said,
did Hasbro, we don't want to be. Did Hasbro know before anyone else?
Yeah. Because maybe they came to the Royals and were like, hey, we want to put you on this. And they said, no, Kauffman's not going to be.
He's dead very soon.
We'll see. Didn't see Boulevard on there.
Yeah, that's a travesty. I bet you had to pay to be a part of it.
Probably.
Because, go ahead.
Just choose a barbecue place. Mm-hmm. They just put like barbecue capital or something like that.
Yeah.
Choose.
I bet none of the barbecue places.
Gates,
I bet
Joe's.
I bet they all held out.
Jack Stack.
They all held out and they were like, no, hold the line. We're not giving Hasbro our money. No one do it. And they knew they had to do something barbecue, so they just put barbecue capital.
So didn't have that. Maybe the peanut.
The peanut would have been sweet.
The peanut would have been sweet. And in one of the oldest buildings in Kansas City, Kelly's Westport Inn.
Not on there.
Iconic logo. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
we'll have to reach out to them and see. Oh, reaching out to Peanut. That's hilarious. Peanut, do you have a comment on this situation?
Yeah.
I'll just ask Alex.
Yeah.
Next time I'm there. But yeah, Crown Center, 18th and Vine, Nelson Atkins, Power and Light, Made in KC, which is one of the retailers where you can buy this game, is at Made in KC. So go into Made in KC and buy it. Linda Hall Library, Western Auto Sign. So mostly landmarks and museums, but Cafe, mm-hmm. the Vietnamese, right? Vietnamese?
Yep.
Vietnamese Cafe in the River Market. Jay Rieger is on there. RBC Casino. So some sponsorships for sure, but a lot of, and then Maine KC, but you know, a lot of monuments and parks and museums. So
should have done the Isle of Capri.
Isle of Pile of Debris.
Mm-hmm. Ronald, yeah, it's no more. That would have been.
The Ronald McDonald House Charities, KC Pet Project, are the community chests. So the area nonprofits that are supported by this. So train stations are basically the KC streetcar stops, Crossroads, Metro Center, North Loop, and River Market.
All right. Good holiday gift. Could be.
Yeah, I think it would be.
Uh-huh. All right.
Let's see. Kansas City, these are going to sell like hotcakes.
Probably. Next up, we've got a Maiden KC Rainy Books. I didn't read about this one.
Okay.
I missed.
That's all right. So, Rainy Day Books, which has been in Fairway, right on the corner there, there's Fairway shops on Shine Mission Parkway and
Rainbow.
Has been there for 50 years. Same owner for 50 years. She's ready to retire. She's looking for buyers. Really cool partnership in order to buy it. Maiden KC stepped in with a group of loyal customers that calls themselves the the group of loyal customers that calls themselves, can't find it. I lost it. I lost the link.
Hold on.
I found it. Group of loyal customers that calls themselves the Friends of Rainy Day Books. A super, super glad I searched for it. So it's basically just a support group. I imagine like a book club-ish type of group that is financially going in with Made in KC to buy Rainy Day Books, to keep it independent, to keep it the same vibe that it has been for 50 years, because it's been the same owner for that entire time. So it was founded by Vivian Jennings and her life partner, Roger Doran. And so, yeah, it's going to stay in the family, or stay in the family-ish. It's going to stay in Kansas City for sure. So that is Rainy Day Books.
Yeah, I'm excited to see if Made in KC puts a little spin on it.
They probably will.
And see what they're able to do.
And yeah, Made in KC said they're going to look at maybe opening a couple other locations. So I think local bookstores are generally a good thing.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's see. We've also got opening some new direct flights. Flying out of Southwest, out of Kansas City.
Yeah, some additional direct flights.
Do we not have these before?
I don't know.
Like, I wouldn't surprise.
No, I think we did have them. Maybe I think they're just additional flights. More coming. Yeah, okay. All because of the new terminal ahead of schedule. Opening March 3rd, dude. That's going to be here before we know it.
Holy smokes.
The new terminal is opening March 3rd. So new flights from Southwest. An additional LA, Atlanta, and San Diego. Then later in the year, Vegas, Pensacola, Orlando, and Indianapolis and Albuquerque, which are brand new directs. Indy and Albuquerque are brand new directs. Additional flights, LA, Atlanta, San Diego, Vegas, Pensacola, Orlando. So obviously popular vacation destinations and large airports. But Indy will probably come in handy. The home of college athletics, mm-hmm. Maybe in the future.
Colts NFL game. Combine, Colts game.
Yeah, that would be handy.
Final fours.
Exactly.
Yeah, would be handy.
I can say with 99% confidence, I will never go to the NFL combine.
I thought you were going to say to a final four.
Wow. Okay.
I was for sure that was
Dennis Gates is building something, okay. Bro. He practices. He runs drills. Have you not seen this?
No.
He runs actual basketball drills, so just be careful. Our previous coach did not.
Okay. I don't know a lot of coaches that do, but...
don't run basketball drills?
He participates in them.
No. He practices them.
On his own time?
No. His players do it in practice.
Okay, so the previous coach...
We didn't run drills.
Did not run drills.
Correct.
Okay. That's an interesting strategy. K-State's like plus 15,000 right now to win the Big 12. Real smart money.
Hammer.
Yeah, exactly.
Put your mortgage on it. Maybe take out a reverse mortgage.
Yes, great transition to James B. Nutter, which is going to be closing its doors.
Well, just the home mortgage business.
Just the home mortgage business? There's more to the business?
I guess so, maybe. I don't know. It just said they're out of the home mortgage business, which I think was 95% of the business
problem. Okay. So they're out of the home mortgage business due to the legal battle. I feel like they've mm-hmm. been fighting with the federal government over, I don't know, forging some documents or...
Yeah,
which so they deny.
They deny.
They deny it. We should allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly.
All alleged, because they're denying it.
Yeah, so James B. Nutter...
Hardly know her.
Sued by the federal government for essentially, forging some documents on some reverse home mortgages. Reverse home mortgages were big. Basically, all these mortgages that are in the complaint against James B. Nutter happened between 2008 and 2010.
Not a great time to be a lender.
A good time to maybe forge some stuff if you're a home lender.
Yeah.
Allegedly. But reverse mortgages are what basically old people can do to get some money back from all the capital or the
equity
that they built up in their mortgage. Thank you, Kev.
I live in my parents' basement.
So that they can stay in their in their house until they die, essentially, is the way that works. But so, yeah, they're being sued by the federal government. It doesn't look good. They're laying off a bunch of employees because of this. And, I mean, they were a top 100 home lender in the country. And, I mean, funny name, no doubt.
Nutter.
You have a great James B. Nutter story that
remiss if I didn't tell it. But I definitely told it.
But mostly a good reputation from all accounts in Kansas City. Started in 1951, and from what leaders in the black community say, like, didn't participate in a lot of the redlining that happened in Kansas City when it came to discriminatory home loan practices.
They did not.
They did not.
Okay.
And again, founded in 1951 in Kansas City, a top 100 lender, by most accounts, had a good reputation. Mm-hmm. And so this is obviously a stain on that reputation, but James B. Nutter denies it. And so we'll see what ends up happening. But this has led to them going out of business. I'll give you the floor if you want to tell you James B. Nutter's story.
I think I've told it on this before, and it's not much of a story, more just I was a witness. And you know how basically when old guys get fat and then there's just nowhere for their pants to like sit on their body?
Yeah.
They just need to be held up by either elastic or suspenders.
Suspenders.
Like that's it. That's the only way those pants
stand up. Because the belt goes under the big beer belly.
Yeah.
And the pants, they're not big enough to go over the middle of the
but
belly.
But his pants were over the big belly. So like the whole big belly is like in the front of the pants, you know, that kind of situation.
Okay.
That's the kind of situation. So anyways, the suspenders break at a local fruit market. We were selling fruit. I was working in the back. Just, you know.
RIP. Don't forget.
Rest in peace. Great guy. Sounds like it.
Yeah.
But the suspenders broke. His pants fell down. He didn't realize it. So he's just standing there.
Local
legend. Probably right around 2008, honestly. I was probably in high school. Local legend, pants down. And when he walked in, it was like, hey, that's James B. Nutter. I was like, holy smokes, there he is.
I see his commercials on Royals games.
And then, boom, pants down. Luckily, someone was there to help him, pull him back up. But
may he rest in peace.
May he rest in peace.
James B. Nutter. So
best of luck to them in this legal battle.
His son is running the country now.
Company. Yeah. All right. Also closing, we'll keep this corporate related.
Yeah.
Cerner closing its world headquarters and realizations.
Oracle is closing it.
Oracle is. So that means basically it's just innovations. The brand new campus is all that's left. Everything else is being.
Because the one out by the racetrack is closed, right?
It's closed.
World headquarters is closing. And in a. Now,
realizations,
which were formerly known as innovations, right?
Yes,
that you can see off the highway.
Yeah, former Marion Labs.
It's huge
building. It's huge, huge campus now closing as well.
Yeah.
So who would have thought Oracle wouldn't be investing in Kansas City after taking over?
Can't imagine.
Didn't see that coming. Cerner Oracle has got till I think 2023 to make big plans. For that area.
Until 2023?
Until 2023. It's like October 2023.
Oh, okay.
So they got like a year, but to make big plans on like developing that site out there like they promised they were back in 2013 and got $1 billion because they said they were doing all this, and so far they've built a Taco Bell and a Hampton Inn.
Okay, well, don't sleep on the Taco Bell.
Big things, But they've got to build a bunch of more buildings to like make good on that contract to get the tax incentive, which is $1.75 billion now.
Well,
which they could get for building.
I heard whispers. So first of all, the mayor of North Kansas City found out about this on Twitter and Reddit. So that's unfortunate for sure, because obviously that's a big part of North Kansas City. It's a big part of developing their downtown. It's a big part of developing housing and apartments and entertainment districts.
I'm shocked Oracle didn't care more about
having them
in Kansas City.
Tell the mayor, but the mayor found out on Reddit, so that's solid. And I've heard that there's another taker for at least WHQ in North Kansas City.
Rumblings of like what Sprint did with their old campus, mixed use.
Another like super shady sounding company that's involved in like pharmaceutical manufacturing and all kinds of Catalent, which Catalent is a pharmaceutical company, a multinational corporation. It's global provider.
It's a good start.
A global provider of delivery technologies, development, drug manufacturing, biologics, gene therapies, and consumer health products.
Sounds trustworthy.
That's an evil corporation. that's a you know, the CEO of that corporation becomes a villain in a Marvel movie, mm-hmm. for sure. Catalent.
And only he has the anecdote to the poison that he's creating.
No doubt, no doubt. I mean, he's basically, he's Harry Osborn. Or, mm-hmm. not Harry.
Who's the dad?
The dad. The green. You can't do this to me! Alright.
You have any idea how hard I worked? We'll see what happens with all those. It's a lot of office space. So, it's also, like, every Oracle employee is just headquartered at one campus now.
20,000 people.
Yeah. Well, it's only like 11,000 people now.
Oh, okay.
In Kansas City.
What? Really?
That's what the article said.
Oh, okay.
About 11,000.
Well.
So, but 2 million square feet of office space, world class, out there. So, all right.
A lot of parking, because at the beginning, I mean,
a lot of parking.
They didn't believe in parking garages, and so WHQ has no parking garages.
Yeah, didn't believe in parking garages because Neil liked to see, make sure everybody was staying till 5 o'clock.
Pizza parties. Uh-huh.
All right, let's move into a little what we tried this week. This week, excited about this one.
Okay.
I went to Society.
Like, live in a society?
I feel like, I think when we must have said this when we talked about it when it opened.
Yeah.
It's a bar that Stefan on Weekend Update described.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I think it's been open for like over a year now. And it's
at least,
King City's
dude.
Hottest nightclub.
Yeah.
You walk
that
in.
No one really knows about. Like no one over the age of 30 knows about. Well, I guess you're 32.
I'm 32.
But okay, so legitimately no one over the age of 30 goes. Maybe you went as a prank a little bit.
It was a little ironic.
Okay, yeah.
But then it was like,
no one knows. Cool. Legitimately, no one over the age of 35 knows about Society.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 33, so I know about it.
Yeah, 33 still. Oh my God. Were you over 30 when you went, Haley?
29.
See,
have you been to Society?
She's been too.
Okay.
She's been once.
Producer Haley has been once.
Under
30,
I got to go, and I went at like 8:45 with some friends, just because I was like, I got it. I was at Manny's eating dinner, so I was like, let's just sneak on over.
How do you go from Manny's dinner to a nightclub?
You cop some margaritas.
Yeah, but I would have been in a coma. Like, I leave Manny's in a coma.
And so I went, surprised by, one, the art on the wall.
It's weird, right?
It's wild. It's out there. I got some pictures. I don't know if it's, like, posted out there, if I'll get in trouble for posting it, but... yeah, and then there's like very much like an Alice in Wonderland type feel with the art when you walk in. It just says Society all over the wall.
Yeah.
Kind of trippy.
Mm-hmm.
And then it has huge projectors and huge TVs showing football games too.
What?
Yeah. So it's kind of got like a sports bar vibe going in there.
Yeah,
I was like, I did not expect to see Boise State versus Colorado State on a big screen, but it was on. It was on.
That makes no sense.
That was surprising. I got a Rad AF on tap for $8.
That's a good beer.
Which, I have a 16-ounce pour of a Rad AF.
That's pretty standard.
It was all right. That was all right. They had just shut down for dinner. And so, like, I was in the in-between crowd, like, in-between dinner before the nightclub started. It was Halloween.
They end dinner?
Yeah, dinner crowd had cleared out because all the tables were empty and like had reserve signs on them. I'm assuming
bottle service
at this place. I think I lost my train of thought.
You're talking about big screens, art, Colorado, Boise State.
Yeah. Anyways,
I mean, you're surprised by the projectors. And
yeah,
the
I was surprised by all that, but
I
was there in between dinner and so it was like clearing out. And it was Halloween, and Halloween is now just, well, not now, but...
Always has been.
Yeah. Holy smokes. At that place, I was not dressed up,
mm-hmm.
and I was just like, I forgot to wear my bra. to this.
Yeah.
Because that's what the dress code was.
So it was like a college Halloween party.
Yeah. It was wild. Mm-hmm. It was wild. There was a cage. Did
like
not
a,
get
a
in go-go cage.
Dancing cage?
Like a dance cage you get into. I didn't get in there.
I don't know if that's the term anymore, go-go dancing.
But, yeah. And then, like, everything was art. It was an experience.
Well, yeah, it's an art.
And
it's an art gallery, Kevin.
When I left, the line was out the door. It was packed.
Wow.
Everyone trying to get in.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
So, what an experience. I wish I would have stayed longer. I only stayed for one drink. Wish I would have maybe had two, three. Get the DJ going.
Eight.
Yeah.
15.
It looked like fun.
All right. So, was the DJ playing?
No, the DJ hadn't gotten there yet. DJ had not gotten there yet. It was too early.
So you really didn't experience the
whole
society.
I was just in there.
Yeah, you were just on the outskirts of society.
Made it inside.
Not quite fully integrated into the society.
I might go on Tuesday to watch the Mac. I think they'll have it going. You know, Ohio versus
Toledo. The whole
point
of it was for it to not be a sports
ball. Yeah,
it doesn't know
it
what
shouldn't.
It is.
Yeah, I'll tell you what it's not.
Yeah, that was their whole thing. When we talked about them opening, they're like, let me tell you what we're not.
So
I think one of the things listed in that was sports bar.
Yeah, I know. And I think the whole point of having the art on the wall would be to avoid the big screen TVs and projectors that show.
Well, the projectors, I figured would project art.
Nope.
Or be a part of it. I wonder when the DJ
Football's
comes on.
Football's game.
Yeah. All right. This week, I tried Princess Garden. So I'm in the hunt for a new everyday Chinese restaurant, Chinese carryout. Restaurant. It pains me to say, but I have to break up with Ken Lin. I've been a loyal Ken Lin disciple for the last 10 years. And the last couple times I've had it, it's just been subpar and has gotten more expensive and gone down in quality. And so I was shopping.
They'll be okay. Every time I go in there,
There's to go.
Just
yeah.
to go.
They're going to be fine. But right. I want to try something new close to where I live is Princess Garden. Plus, I have heard good things about Princess Garden.
Specifically
the crispy beef. It's actually called crunchy beef.
The crunchy beef. That's what will make you queef.
Yeah.
According
to the top review
top
on Google.
Top review on Google.
But yeah, Princess Garden, the crunchy beef was very good.
You got the crunchy beef.
Yeah, as their
signature dish.
I had to get it with like Mongolian pancakes, which are just like tortillas, basically.
Never heard of them.
So it was really good. You just like scoop up, I don't know if this is how you do it, but you kind of just scoop up the crunchy beef into the tortillas and you're good to go. But you know,
that
chicken
sounds like a really fun thing. I like that.
It was very good.
Okay.
It was really good. It was missing a little spice, so I just added my own sriracha, but that's fine. The chicken fried rice was subpar, I would say. Not as good as Ken Lin 4 years ago, when Ken Lin was in its prime. And then the orange chicken was very good. The crab rangoon, it was good, not great. Again, not as good as Ken
Lin.
Big
and chunky, crispy, or little and thin?
No, crunchy, big, crispy.
Okay, I like
that.
A little good sweet and sour sauce, like a little red.
Again, subpar.
Okay.
Or average.
That's
just
what I look for.
Not as good as Ken Lin when Ken Lin was really good. Mm-hmm. So while the crunchy beef was very good, you have to have good chicken fried rice because I'm always going to order that. So I think I'm still in the hunt. You know, I will recommend the crunchy beef, but you got to have good chicken fried rice. So still in the hunt. Shout out. If you've got like your go-to Chinese carry out, still looking. Still
okay.
Looking. But the orange chicken and crispy beef, we're good.
Okay, all right. Next up, you're going to say something nice about St. Louis.
I actually am.
We've been doing this segment a few years now, ever since I met my wife, who's from St. Louis, and we've got some loyal St. Louis listeners
very
out there now. So anytime we're in St. Louis, we've got to say something nice.
Correct.
Were you on the Hill, or... that's a nice place.
Yeah, no, I was staying downtown, but I was recommended a deli in Soulard area.
Cool spot.
But just in general, I'm very, very jealous of St. Louis's deli scene. Like, their corner delis.
Mm-hmm.
Every neighborhood has, like, a good corner deli.
Yeah.
So, like,
it's older.
While I just, you know, I threw out that, you know, recommend a Chinese takeout. Like, basically, I was there for a wedding. I was not a part of the wedding, but my wife was. So, my wife had to leave at, you know, 8, 7 in the morning to go get ready, and I was just hanging out by myself. So I texted the groomsman in the wedding, or the groom, and I said, hey, you know, what are your deli recommendations? And that's something you can throw out to a St. Louis person, because every St. Louis person has like 3 or 4 delis that are true delis. Like, they don't serve beer. They've got, you know, a fountain Coke machine. You walk through the line, you get a deli and a paper wrap, and it's good. And there are a lot of those in St. Louis, and we don't have that in Kansas City. And I'm very jealous of their deli scene. I wish we had more delis where it could be like, hey, throw out your favorite deli, and people would have differing opinions on their favorite deli. We just don't have that. We just don't have that scene, and I'm very jealous because I love a good.
Not only are you saying something nice about St. Louis, you're saying it is better than Kansas City.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone would argue with that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what's your favorite deli?
We did a mixed plate on delis.
Did we? Or did we do sandwiches?
We did one on delis. On delis. Mr. Good Sense was on mine.
Yeah, yeah.
There's Milwaukee Deli.
Yeah, I've been there once in my entire life.
Maybe we count Bay Boy.
Yeah, we did. And we got it, you know, Bella Napoli and, mm-hmm. and Joe Vito's. But, sorry.
There's a certain style that makes it more of a deli, mm-hmm. deli.
Yeah, those are not. So I've been to multiple delis in St. Louis. They're all good. And I'm jealous of. I love a good, true hometown deli sandwich. I wish we had more.
Okay. More good sense coming your way. Start franchising. All right, let's move into our personal pine tar from this week. Got a couple of them for me this week. I was out and about a lot.
Wow.
You know, I went to Overland Park Farmers Market Saturday morning, and then Saturday night was out and about in the Crossroads, jumping mm-hmm. around. Sunday was at Union Station and in the Crossroads as well. Didn't run into one person I know. I feel like I pride myself on being able.
That's your personal podcast.
Being able to just bump into somebody that you know when you're out in public.
True.
That long and at crowded places. Where is everybody that I know? Where are you guys? I didn't see one person. Didn't have one random bump in.
Maybe you're not as cool as you can.
And I pride myself on being like, if I'm going to like a farmer's market or out for the night.
You're
going to
run into like a friend's parents.
I'm going to run into somebody I know.
Yeah.
Randomly.
Yeah.
Didn't happen. And I was like,
maybe you're a loser.
Am I a loser?
Life's
Do I
passing
know less
you by.
People?
Life's passing you by.
And I was turning 32 this week. So it was just like, because I just don't run into people I know. I know. It's like, don't run into people I know.
I get what you're saying there, because I don't think I've ever been to a Royals game and not bumped into someone that I didn't know was going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's happened to every single Royals game.
Yeah, and I didn't have that, and it was a bummer.
I'm sorry.
And then number two, mom and dad waited till the last minute to get Halloween candy, so we had Dum Dums and Paydays.
Oh,
that was our bowl.
Peasantry.
It's still full.
Yeah.
It's still full.
No one wanted it. Everyone's like, oh, I'll take one.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah. And they're like, you want any more? And they're like, no. And then one kid goes, wait. He goes, no, I don't need any more. And then he goes, wait, I'll grab a payday for my dad. And we've got a lot of paydays to eat and a lot of dum-dums.
Take them to work.
I don't go to work. I am my office. I'm just going to eat them.
Yeah, that's brutal.
Just get fat on paydays and dum-dums.
All right, my personal pine tar. Highway signs. You shouldn't be allowed to put your restaurant or your gas station on the on this exit. You know, the big blue signs. They're like, on this exit. These are the restaurants that are there. These are the hotels. These are the gas stations. It should be illegal to put yourself on that sign if you're more than a mile away.
Agreed.
If you're more than a quarter mile away, I don't want it on there.
I know.
Because I'll just get off. I'll just get right back on. And they don't put the mileage until you're already on the exit ramp.
And then they're like, 0.75 miles that way. I'm back on.
If it's not a quarter or a half a mile, I'm getting back on the highway. So that should be illegal. Or you should have to put your mileage before you get on the exit, before the exit ramp sign. Because there's always the first sign that's like, you know, a half mile from the exit. And then you've got the sign on the actual exit ramp that gives you the like one quarter or... Well, it was a mile and a half.
That's insane.
On regular streets.
What was the restaurant?
It was a Quick Trip.
Oh, that's
stupid,
brutal.
Stupid Quick Trip. It's St. Louis. Get your freaking, ugh. So there you go, St. Louis. Stupid Quick Trip, a mile and a half off the highway. When there's, I'm driving by all this empty land. There's a place for a Quick Trip. There's a place for a Quick Trip closer to the highway. But no, yours is a mile and a half off the freaking, and I was like low on gas and real, so I couldn't just get back on the highway, and I was hungover, so I really wanted, like, Quick Trip food and a real
and
Quick
your
Trip soda.
Your car wanted Quick Trip gas.
My car wanted Quick Trip gas, so I went all the way down for it, and it was, like, 5 minutes off the highway. So that was, that's really frustrating.
All right. That sucks. I've done it before. There's one off of 70 in Independence. The Quick Trip's really far away. It's like Truman Boulevard. It's very far away from the highway. Don't get off. All right. Let's see. Next.
Mixed plate.
We got the mixed plate of Kansas City area coaches.
Yeah. So the new coach that we have here, figured let's do coaches.
Let's talk coaches in Kansas City. Episode 181. That means you get to go first.
Let's rock. Easy meet number one here. Big Red, Andrew Walter Reed is my meet number one for Kansas City area coaches. He's the greatest coach in Chiefs history. He is the greatest coach in Kansas City sports history, and
wow.
I don't think it's particularly close after making this list. He's had one. No, he hasn't had any losing season since being with the Chiefs.
Nope.
He's missed the playoffs once. That kind of consistency, and we went to four straight AFC championships, two Super Bowls, won one of them, greatest coach in Kansas City history. So Andrew, Walter Reed, Big Red, Walrus, meet number one.
Okay. Meet number one for me, the second best coach in Kansas City history, Matt Quatrero. Going all my eggs in one basket here. I don't think I've ever...
He wasn't even on my list. You could have gotten him.
In our lifetime... I think the only time I got excited for a manager hire was Trey Hillman, because like everything else was interim manager. Tony Muser, I knew Tony Muser,
grumpiest man on the planet.
Didn't like him. Then it was like, oh my gosh, Trey Hillman, this is so exciting.
World Series champ, Japan, World Series
Japan
champ,
World Series champ. So I haven't been excited about a coach hiring since then. So Matt, pressure on. You're a meet number one.
Make sure we
Coach
Q. We got to get to him.
Coach Q.
All right, side number two for me. I'll go chalk here. I'll go Edgar. I'll go Nedley. Nedley Yost brought a World Series to my Royals. I remember most of my life. I truly believed I would never see a Royals World Series victory. I really, in my heart of hearts, believe that. I knew that the Chiefs would eventually win a Super Bowl. Like, I knew that. You know, I think Mizzou's going to make it to a Final Four one of these days. College football has changed a lot over the last, 15 years. But I really never thought that I'd see a Royals World Series. And Ned brought it. He brought back-to-back. Those playoff runs were the greatest times of my life. So, Ned, Edgar, Yost.
All right, my meet number two here. I'm going to go with Marty Schottenheimer.
Yeah.
Marty
Ball.
Really helped save the franchise at the time that he got here, him and Carl. I mean, things were bad for the Chiefs. I mean,
down bad.
They weren't on TV. They couldn't sell out games.
Mm-hmm.
It was a bad atmosphere. Things were not good. And when Marty got there, all of that changed. He's a coach who played a style of football that I don't know if we'll ever see that again. I mean, barring, I don't know,
the
rule
Denver
changes or some kind of sway and some coach wanting to zig when everyone else is zagging. Like, Marty Ball.
Falcons are kind of doing
and
that.
And you hear him talk about it. It was just like, let's just pound the rock, run it as many times, and then hopefully we break one of those runs for a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Or just, win with running the ball and defense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that just doesn't happen anymore. So he's a bit of a relic in that sense that I don't know if we'll see a head coach like that again in the NFL, at least not for a while.
Yep.
So, but while he was doing it, it was awesome.
Sure.
And it was fun to watch. It was fun to go to Arrowhead. He's what made Arrowhead. Arrowhead was that style. So, going with Marty Schottenheimer.
All right, Legend. Meet number two for side number one for me. I'm going Gary Pinkle, greatest football coach in Mizzou history. Brought multiple Big 12 championship games. We got to go to multiple of those while I was in college. We won a couple SEC East, played in some SEC championship games our first 2 years in the SEC, which no one thought we would, but we did. Gary Pinkle brought me a lot of joy in college, a lot of pain, you know, definitely with Mizzou football and Mizzou sports comes pain everywhere, pain all over. But Gary Pinkle brought me a lot of joy, and I think he's the greatest coach in Mizzou football history.
Okay. I'll counter that with my guy, Bill Moses Snyder. Bill Moses Snyder. He delivered us to the promised land of some Big 12 championships. Dang near delivered us twice to the national championship.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't grow up a K-State fan, so it wasn't until later in life that I watched highlights of the Texas A&M 1998 Big 12 championship game. That's heartbreaking. I didn't realize that until I was an adult, but man, that was heartbreaking. That's my Baylor game, I'm still not over.
Nope.
But Bill Snyder, everything he did, he saved Manhattan, Kansas. He saved Kansas State athletics.
They were literally the worst football program in the country
ever.
They were like Colorado State.
Yep,
Colorado.
The worst.
Literally ranked by Sports Illustrated as the worst college football program in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And look what he did.
All right, my side number two, Bill Snyder's a legend. Mm-hmm. Horrible commencement speech giver. I went to my sister-in-law's graduation at K-State. He gave the commencement speech. Dude, it was written by an AI robot who writes only in cliches. It was so bad.
Mm.
So he's got to work on that.
Well, he's a football coach.
Shouldn't have asked him to do it in the
Just wrote a short,
it was
sweet
a college of architecture,
should
too.
Just wrote a handwritten letter, put a picture up.
It was the College of Architecture. Like, why is he doing that?
It's a big school at K-State.
No, but it was a small program. It was a small ceremony. It was like a couple hundred people. Silly. All right, side number two for me. Another legend. Rest in peace, Terry English. I think we talked about. Did we talk about him?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Bishop BH girls coach. Literally the only coach that in the history of the program. He was the coach for the Bishop BH girls basketball team at its inception. He started the program and over 44 years won 22 state titles. That's winning a state title in half of your seasons as the basketball coach. Every other year, he won a state title. Didn't appear, won. And it's not like that kind of consistency is just because we're getting the best players. That's because you're far and away the best coach. And he's a great gym teacher, great health teacher. Taught me how to vertical bench press.
Mm-hmm.
And
what's a vertical bench press?
Where you're at an angle. Is that what you call it?
Not a vertical, like a.
Yeah, I think that's what you call it.
Like where you're like sitting up and doing a bench
press.
Yeah,
it's like a 45 degree angle.
Okay, I don't think it's called a vertical though.
I think it is. But what incline, Haley? Thank you. Incline bench press.
We lift weights.
Yeah, all the time. I'm huge. Invented such games. Angle ball as an all-time game.
Angle ball, I couldn't think.
Angle
of
ball
of that,
was
yeah.
A mix of soccer and basketball and
football.
Handball and football.
And football.
Yeah, and he was old school, and we straight up played seniors versus freshmen dodgeball too, which was a lot of fun and built a lot of character. And taught health, so everything that goes along with teaching high school boys. Health and just an absolute legend. So shout out to Terry English.
Yeah, that will never be funny that they assign health to the PE teacher.
Never not be funny.
Yeah, that's always going to be funny to me.
Yes.
All right. I'll go with the BH Dags too because I had him on my list. Not the porn star John Holmes, but the coach John Holmes. The one who holds the record for most consecutive state championships won with 6 in a row.
For the state of Kansas?
For the state of Kansas.
Glory days.
I just
live in the glory days here.
Just realized that Miege has the most state championships won in football in the history of the state of Kansas. Well, they're tied with Lawrence at 10.
Count it.
But Holmes has got, I don't know, 5 or 6.
Nine of those?
I don't know. He's got a lot. I was like looking at the Kansas High School football history record books, and it's just all the kids that he's coached.
Yeah.
Are all over it.
Mm-hmm.
And I got in a fight online with somebody mad about me age being in 4A.
So nice.
I just wanted
feels
to
feel good.
Yeah.
Fighting
about enrollment numbers at the 4A level.
Classic.
That's what I do online.
His first coaching assignment, my CYO basketball team.
Okay.
He coached, I think he's probably 21, 22 or something like that. He would have been like 19.
Mm-hmm.
He was probably 20 when he coached our sophomore CYO basketball team. And he basically just used it as a way to scrimmage against high schoolers, because he just practiced with us and just like played in our scrimmages. Our practice was just like scrimmaging, you know? Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I need a pickup league, but I don't have it,
so I'm going to go play against these 16
So I'm
going
to coach a CYO
high school team. But we were his first assignment. We stunk. So he's got that against him mm-hmm. for his coaching record. Because then I think like by the time we were seniors, he was on the staff as offensive coordinator or something like that. So,
I still belong to a Facebook group that's Make John Holmes offensive coordinator.
Oh, okay.
Because it was JJ. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Other legends. I had some other high school coaching legends. Bud Lathrop, Breakdown South. Most wins for a high school boys basketball coach in the state of Missouri. 955.
Okay. Wow. Sheesh.
Jack Bush. I just remembered him from the documentary that Carrington Harrison did. He coached at
such a good documentary.
Central, I think. 799 mm-hmm. wins.
Yeah.
Really
good documentary, by the way, if you want to see some other high school coaching legends.
Yeah. And then I had Hank Stram on there, too.
Dude, what about Rick Zeke?
Rick Zeke.
Miege men's basketball coach. Mm-hmm. I had Norm Stewart on there. Dick Vermeil.
Love Dick Vermeil.
Dick Vermeil. Hall of Famer, mm-hmm. Dick Vermeil. And basically talked about the Chiefs the entire time in his Hall of Fame speech, even though he coached elsewhere. Good list.
Great list.
And Matt Quatrero.
Number one on my list. All eggs in that basket. All right.
You didn't have Buddy Bell? Did you have Buddy Bell?
Hey, don't say things can't get worse. That's
Tony Muser. We might have to do worst coaches in Kansas City next.
Be a fun list.
Yeah.
Be a fun list. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening this week. Again, next week will be on Wednesday again, so be sure to follow us on social media at State Your Line, and we'll see you around Kansas City.